1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had suffered previously and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to those for whom it applies. Did you know that Father's Day has been celebrated in one form or another since the Middle Ages? I didn't know that. I found that out this week. But only recently has it been recognised as an official free hit, no punishment day for all those purveyors of the finest form of spontaneous paternal oral comedy, the dad joke. It's a free hit day today, gentlemen. And you, in honour of that day, I wanted to give you a short reading from a present that my children gave me entitled, My Dad Still Thinks He's Funny. My dad thinks he's really funny. I say, what's the time? And dad says, time to get a watch. I say, I'm tired. And dad says, tired of what? I say, I'm bored. And dad says, a surfboard or a floorboard? When Gran tells me there's something special about me, Dad says, yeah, that's his father. My dad still thinks he's really funny. Of course, different people have different experiences of Father's Day. For some, it's a fun day of celebration with family. For others, it's a day of grief when they remember a lost dad, or they remember afresh that they wanted children, but for some reason or another were not able to have them. And for still others, Father's Day can be a day filled with pain as they recall the nightmares inflicted upon them or their family by their own earthly father. This day affects everyone, one way or another. All of us have a father, and some are fathers, biological or adoptive. So how does that affect who we are? We're in a series called Who Are You? And what we're trying to do is over 5 weeks, we're trying to look at the most fundamental question that faces every human being, the question of identity. What does God have to say about that? And so on Father's Day 2016, I want to look at three ways that fatherhood shapes all of our identity. Okay, three ways. Firstly, we are children of parents. We are children of parents. Daddy, where did I come from? The seven-year-old asked. It was a moment for which her parents had carefully prepared. They took her into the living room, got out the encyclopedia and several other books and explained all they thought she should know about sexual attraction and affection, love and reproduction. And then they both sat back and smiled contentedly. Does that answer your question? Her father asked. Not really, the little girl said. Marcia said she came from Newcastle. I just wanted to know where I came from. If there's something that Father's Day reminds us of, it's that we all came from other human beings. We're all contingent beings. We didn't create ourselves. We couldn't will ourselves into existence. There was some degree of purposefulness on the part of two other human beings to bring you and I into existence. And that's the way things were designed to work by God. Only the first man was made from dust. Every other human being was made by God through other human beings. And so it's good to recognize that this is part of who we are. Being a child of parents is not our primary identity, but it is part of our identity and an important part. And I think that's why mothers and fathers get a mention in the Ten Commandments right the way through the New Testament, where Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you," says Paul. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Well, at the very least, I think it means honor in the way you speak about them. Not belittling them or running them down to others. Not highlighting the mistakes that they made, which no doubt you will have made yourself or will make if you haven't yet. It means to honor them in your relationship with them, to spend time speaking with them, to spend time with them, to honor them with your presence or with your conversation. It means to honor them in the way we care for them once they're no longer able to care for themselves. Now, for some, any of that kind of activity of honoring may mean something else has to happen first. It may mean forgiving your parents, forgiving your father, forgiving them for words that wounded or for actions that left scars. And this can be difficult. But we serve a Lord whose life and death were all about the reconciliation of relationship. We serve a Lord who made it possible for us to be forgiven for the horrendous treatment we have given to our Creator. We serve a Lord who forgives us over and over and over. We serve the Lord who by His Spirit gives us the power to do what is right, even if it is hard. He calls us to follow Him. Honor your father and your mother that it might go well with you. That's part of what it means for who we are as children of parents. Now, I'm aware that for some people, all this talk of honoring your own father or father on Father's Day may be deeply painful. The idea that your identity might in any way be bound up with your earthly father is something that you'd rather forget. And so for you, and in fact for all of us, it's important for us to remember on Father's Day that secondly, we are all children of the Heavenly Father. We are children of the Heavenly Father. As I said, we've been going through this series looking at who are you? And when it comes to the question of identity, there are two really big pieces that every Christian needs to grasp. The first is that we are made in the image of God, as we've been exploring over the last 2 weeks. We are made to be like Jesus, that we might rule, that we might have relationship, that we might be co-creators. And though that is fall, Jesus dies to redeem us, to bring us back, to remake us into His image. That is really important. That is applicable to every human being. But the second really big piece we need to grasp is that if you trust in Christ, you are a child of the Heavenly Father. Christianity is not pie in the sky when you die. It is about a relationship that starts now and continues on for all eternity. It's about a relationship with God who brought us from death to life, but not just for some day in the future. He did that to bring us now, to adopt us now as his children into his own family. It's a truth that's repeated time and time again through the New Testament in passages like this one from Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Through Jesus, we're adopted into an intimate, loving relationship with God as our Father. We are chosen to be loved. I remember the story I heard from a Southern American preacher who was visiting here. And he told the story of a family he knew down in the South. They were a white family, but they adopted a black girl into their family, an orphaned girl. And as she grew, she wondered, you know, as she was picked on for being part of that multiracial family, did the parents really love her, or would the day come when it was just too difficult to have her as part of the family? And they said, no. Don't you remember what we named you? And she said, what do you mean? He said, we called you Winija. Winija. Right? No, it's not a joke. That's what they called her. Winija. To show her that they needed her. They chose her out of love into her family. And they loved her more than she would ever imagine. And that is the same for all of us who trust in Jesus. We are cherished and loved by our Heavenly Father. And this Father is different to every earthly father, because his love is utterly consistent. His treatment of you doesn't depend on the sort of day that he's had. It doesn't depend on whether he's hit the bottle or whether he's just always in a bad mood. His treatment of you is always fair, full of love and grace, wanting the best for you. This Father is never absent. He's not a father who's away most of the time and just checks in every now and then between business trips or trips to the pub. He is with you every moment of every day through his Spirit dwelling in you. This Father is not distant. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your every thought, your every struggle, your every challenge. He knows when you are suffering. He knows when you are full of joy. He knows because his own Son, with whom he is one, experienced everything that you and I have experienced. And his Spirit is with us now as we go through it all, helping us to choose the way of our true family in everything that we do. He knows right now, on this day, what you are facing. And he cares. And this Father doesn't need you to prove anything to him. There is no level you have had to reach in your employment. There is no title you've had to reach or pay packet that you've had to bring home. There's no legacy that you will have to leave in order to gain his favor, in order for you to feel his smile upon your life. He's delighted in you because you are united to his Son, in whom he has all delight, and because day by day you are becoming more like his Son, until the day you stand before him and you are fully transformed. He has granted you the highest honor that could be bestowed on you in this world already in Jesus. He's given it to you. If God had a pool room, you'd be straight in there. And so this is a fundamental part of our identity. If your trust is in Jesus, you are a loved and cherished child of God, the Heavenly Father. Made in the image of Christ and saved to become a co-heir with Christ. So on Father's Day, it's worth stopping to thank our Heavenly Father for all that He is and all that He's done for us. But there's one more part to who we are on Father's Day. Number three, some of us are, or will be, that's for 7 o'clock that I'm preaching to, fathers. Given that it's Father's Day, it's probably appropriate to speak to the dads and the granddads and those that one day might be dads. I'm not sure that's true for anyone here, unless you've got some exciting news to share with us afterwards. First, being a father is a role that's given of God by grace. It's not deserved. That means there's nothing inherently more special about you if you were given the privilege of being a father. It doesn't make you more special than others. Rather, it's a role and responsibility given to you out of God's grace. And the flip side of that is that you are not less special or less precious if you are not a father. You are still made in the image of God and redeemed to be a child of God. And being a father or not a father can't change that. Fatherhood is a gift, not a trophy for good behavior. And so acknowledging that, secondly, fatherhood is a role with a purpose. There's a fascinating piece in the reading we heard today from 1 Thessalonians. See, in chapter 2 that we heard read from, Paul there is defending his ministry that he had amongst the Thessalonians. And he lists off, as he defends what he did, he lists off a whole bunch of things that he didn't do. And then he turns to the other side and lists off a whole bunch of things that he did do whilst he was amongst them. And when he gets to verses 10 to 12, he says, "You're witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Paul says he behaved just like a father deals with his children. And then he spells out what that looks like. Encouraging, comforting, and urging to live lives worthy of God. And even though the context isn't direct instructions to fathers, there is something in this when we think of the role that God has given to earthly fathers to play with their own children. Firstly, encourage. Encourage. The word literally means to put courage into. Fathers are called on to encourage their children. Now, in some ways, this is the sort of speech that all Christians are called on to have with each other. But fathers have a unique context and a unique opportunity to speak like this to their own children. So fathers, tell your children when they've done a good job. Or tell them when you can see that they've put in all of their effort, regardless of the outcome. And do this whether they're 4 or 44. The 44-year-olds probably need it more than the 4-year-olds because they're not getting encouragement from anywhere else. Encourage them, especially when you see them persevering for the Lord, growing in their faith and godliness, hanging in there against the pressures of the world, hanging in there to keep loving Jesus and to keep loving others. Encourage, fathers, encourage your children. Second, comfort. It's like encouraging, but it's a little different. See, dads are called on to be the strength against the outside forces when children fall or when they bump hard up against the world. They're called on to provide protection and a safe place and words that can heal. And so dads, comfort your children. Again, whether they're 4 or 44. Use the strength of your words carefully. Harsh words spoken into open wounds can crush a soul. But words of comfort spoken into a tender soul can raise spirits, can help them get on their feet again, ready to face the next challenge. Encourage, comfort, and third, and possibly most importantly, urge them to live lives worthy of Jesus. In the ancient world, the father ruled the household, and his rule was what everybody had to conform to. That was the standard in the house. And the father said jump, everyone was supposed to say how high. And everyone had to learn how to do that. But not so with fathers who know Jesus. Because we point our children to a higher rule than our own. Fathers who know Jesus have the incredible privilege and responsibility to bring their children up to know and love Jesus just like they know and love Jesus. They have the responsibility to help their own earthly children discover what it means to be a child of the Heavenly Father just like they themselves are. And so they're to help them to know Him, help them know what it means to follow Him. And this means always living lives that your children can watch and follow, no matter how old we are. No matter how old we are, your children will be watching what you do, the way you do it, and why you do it. It means speaking the words of life to your children. Sharing words from your devotions or your Bible study group. It means taking opportunities to speak about how you are changing with your children because of what Christ is doing in your life. It means encouraging your children to live for Jesus in all the ins and outs of everyday life. Encourage, comfort, and urge them to live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus. On this Father's Day, who are we? We are all children called on to honour our fathers and our mothers. How will you do that today? We are all children of the Heavenly Father, with nothing to prove and nothing to fear. Cherished, delighted in, loved. And for those of us who've been graced with the role of earthly father for a while, we're called to help our children, whatever their age, to know and love and walk with the Lord Jesus that they might know their Heavenly Father. And may God strengthen us by His Spirit to help us in all of this. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the Father who loves even when we fall. You are the Father who was waiting by the gates even when we had wandered far away. That who You are and what You've done in Jesus means we're delighted in. We are cherished. We are loved as adopted children of You. Father, will You help us as children of parents to honour our fathers today where forgiveness needs to happen? Will You help soften hearts to do that? Where there is pain, will You bring comfort knowing that You are the God who will never let us down? And as fathers, will You help us to encourage our children, no matter what their age, to comfort and to urge them to live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus, that we might bring glory to You in the role You have given us for a short time. Help us in all this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.